Hey, Mandarin family. Thank you so much for joining us today. We will get started in just a moment. As we begin, we want you to be aware of a couple things. First of all, be sure to check us out on our website at mandarinbaptist.org. When you are there, you can choose tabs, links to our social media, and other pages to see any events we have scheduled. You can see events like our service times, jam camp, student ministry, Discover Mandarin, and more. Also, visit us on our social media pages. You can find us at facebook.com/Mandarin Baptist Church. We would love for you to take your next steps with us here at Mandarin, and one of the best ways to do so is to engage with us online on our social media, and even join us for our services on campus and live streamed on Sundays. All the information you need will be found on our website, and if you desire any other information, feel free to email us. We are in our new series called Our Redemptive Family. Imagine the beauty of the gospel vibrant in every relationship within the church and as the core foundation and identity for Jesus's people. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel with all humility and gentleness as the defining attributes of a life within a redemptive family. As Jesus builds his people, others will look into the window of the faith family with a bit of awe as they experience patience, upholding one another in love and an eagerness to maintain a unity that is sparked by the Spirit and provides an abundance of peace. The church, with Jesus at its center, is a beautiful place and people. These truths are the anchors for the way that we think about our faith family and how we relate to one another. They also spark a sense of wonder as others venture into the middle of us. Throughout this series, let's explore how the gospel shapes and forms our redemptive family.
So, I would just speak this over us. Father, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that will just turn quickly toward you today. That's my prayer as we come behind our singing with the truth of Scripture. And so we're going to begin a series that is going to allow us to spend anywhere from 6 to 112 weeks in the truth and reality of what does a scriptural biblical community look like. Our journey this year has led us to this conversation out of Scripture, the teaching, whatever you want to call what we're going to be about as Jesus continues to conform us, not only individually, but corporately into his image. And so if you've been a part of this fellowship, as our online community is with us, you're a part of the fellowship, our early morning, first ever in my time here, traditional service happened today, and it was pretty beautiful. And so our church has already gathered twice, and one group is with us now. We're just really praying that God guides us, and he has been. We've been on a journey beginning the year, spending 6 weeks just kind of reminding ourselves of what the core and heart of our mission is about. And then we moved in to say, look, we can't be incongruent with Jesus. And so if we have this mission that's not a part of his passion for us, we should probably drop this. And so we just kind of moved into the movement of Jesus toward the cross and the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John and just steadied ourselves in the prayer of Jesus for his church. And it was a beautiful season of teaching. And then we moved out of that into this crazy and important question that we should be asking every day of our lives. Who is Jesus? Who is he? Because if I answer that question, I will then in my soul know who he is. And then I will begin to wrestle with some of the scripture we actually read together where we are saying, Lord, if this is who you are, then apparently my attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And you can carry that on through Philippians, the second chapter, verses 6 through 11, if you want to delve into the attitude of that as Christ Jesus. And I kind of read that often and think, oh, wow, I've got a long way to go. So again, thank you, Jesus, for Jesus. And so we begin now coming out of 6 weeks in Easter, and that we're a resurrected people made alive with Jesus, and asking, so if this is all true, and it is, and this is what the body of Christ is about, then, and we are, then what would we look like? What would be the makeup of the body of Christ? And we don't want to share like good ideas with you. We want to share scripture with you and just ask and answer this question. So, God, what would be happening in our redemptive family if you were in the middle of us? If you are who you are, and we're becoming who you are, what's that going to mean for us? And how's that going to be beautiful among us? So I would love to really begin with scripture. And Ephesians 4 verses 1 through 3 are foundational. And they're going to be a kind of a broad look at the attributes of a body of Christ that just says we're a redemptive family. We are not sitting in this room or joining online, kind of pretending or putting it together. We don't have our Sunday Jesus and our Monday self. We're just a people after Christ. We're just a redemptive family that finds great peace and great solace and great hope in the fact that in all of our brokenness and all of our wounds and all of our victories and all of the greatness that God is doing and everywhere in between, we're just kids of Jesus. And we're thankful for that. And that takes a lot off of the posturing that we do to kind of show up at church and tell everybody how good things are. And just to be able to let the weight of who Jesus is and what life is doing with us come together in congruency as a redemptive family. And so here's why it's important. And so I've told you to be in Philippians 4, but it would be unfair to not connect this to the thoughts that we've been having previously. And so in the second chapter of Ephesians, we've been here for 3 weeks, so I won't belabor this and preach it again, although I'm going to want to. But I just want you to know that God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he has for us, made us alive in Jesus. So welcome to church. It's a community that's been made alive with Christ. Why? Because God is rich in mercy and he is lavish in love for us. That's who he is. So we were made alive not when we were kind of not doing really well or when we had some minor sins in our life. We were made alive when we were dead in our trespasses. Praise you, Father. And so welcome again to the body of Christ, a lot of dead people who have been made alive with Jesus. A lot of people who had no hope apart from Jesus. We are not getting our act together. We have been put together by Christ. So yes, thank you for the amens and glory to God. So he's made us alive and you're saved by grace. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him. So just pause. So you're saved by grace. And then he raised us up and seated with him in the heavens. So that's kind of where you are right now. That always boggles my mind. I'm sorry. I'm baffled by that. And I'm still celebrating it. And I don't even get it fully. So we're seated with Christ in the heavens right now. And here's why we should talk about the redemptive community. This is a summary statement, a biblical anchor of why this is important. So that in the coming ages, here it is, he could put on display among the body of Christ, that's us, put on display the immeasurable riches in kindness of God in Christ and the grace that he has distributed to us, through us, in us, in Jesus. Yes, thank you. So, like, are you kidding me? So here's what it's saying in a nutshell. We are a display of the incredible wonder of Jesus. And we are a people, so this redemptive community, so this thing called family, this church thing, we are displaying. And now pause for a moment. I think we all get this truth. This is where it's mind baffling. We get this part. So you're saying, Pastor, that we as a body of Christ are a super humble group of people who are coming together under the grace of Jesus Christ and the lavish riches that he has displayed through us and poured into us. And we are to now, in a moment, go out and be rah-rah for Jesus. And yes, we are, but you should read the scripture a little more because we're seated in the heavens. And so for the ages to come, which is, again, this is the wonder of God that is beyond what we can comprehend. So in fairness, I will not do justice to what I think is happening right now, but we are apparently, as the body of Christ, a display of the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness in the ages to come. Now you figure that out and explain it to your neighbor. I think we're just supposed to sit in wonder at the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power and prolific nature of a redemptive family of God. And we should not downplay it. We should recognize that God is choosing in Christ to display his majesty, and with all insanity that I can imagine in what he's thinking, he's choosing you and me and the glory of us to say to people, but also to pull back the banner and look into the heavenlies and say, check out my grace and kindness at work in the world, and all of the heavens are apparently looking into us, looking to the Lord and saying, oh, wow. For me personally, I just had chills run down my back of the corporate beauty, reality, and responsibility that we have to steward this well. And to say, Lord, this is too much for me. And I don't think I can fully get this. Like, literally, ponder that you're seated in heaven right now as a follower of Jesus. That he's pulling back the shade of heavens and saying, look at them. That's too rich for me, and I don't deserve that but Christ. But I do want to say to the Lord, so what do we do to steward this redemptive family very well for the sake of the gospel? And so I just threw out some ideas or sentences to begin this message. So there's no greater wonder on earth than Jesus' church. We're a sacred and gospel-saturated community who are looking around and we're walking about and we're saying, we want, as we move about in this life, to just present to you holy ground. We're a people who are standing in holy ground. Our imagination is aflame for the things of God. So imagine in this beauty kind of leading up to the reading of scripture, imagine some scripture that I would like to just present to you. Imagine what Jesus is doing as he forms us, that he chose us before the foundation of the world. So he's kind of forming us, having chosen us before the foundation of the world. That's both Jeremiah and Ephesians. It's mind-boggling. Not only that, but Jeremiah learns this way as he just moves about being a display of the goodness of God in this truth that he knew us before he formed us. So apparently we're seated in heaven now, and apparently there was some eternity past where we've been in an intimacy with the Lord and he knew us before he formed us. I'm really thinking that we're a part of something significant. I'm really thinking that there's a display that God wants to demonstrate for this earth that's a people who live for far more than our current circumstance. We live as a redemptive family of God for the glory of the cross of Christ and for the anchoring that we have in him. And I think these truths are powerful for us, and they are even more prolific in an often stressed world in which we lived, and we are assuredly in a stressed world right now. And so we're this redemptive family just kind of walking about, and we're just this people of peace, just walking around in the middle of unrest and saying, Lord, how do we release this among the people that you have given to us? And so he just goes on and just says, just in case you're wondering about what you're to be about, I would like to tell you in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And so let me just kind of read that for us and then suggest what could happen among the body of Christ. One people being the dwelling place of the living God. One tribe, one nation, one people belonging to God, displaying his glory. So it reads this way. Therefore, this is Paul, this is Ephesians 4, verse 1. I'm a prisoner in the Lord, and I urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received. And here's how I want you to do it. Here's the attributes that will define a redemptive family. Live in the calling that you have received with all humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. I left this verse off the screen. Forgive me because it's so important. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father in all, who is above all and who is through all and who is in all. It feels like a confession right now to just say amen. So this is the infrastructure of a redemptive family of Christ. So welcome to church. Welcome to the redemptive family of God. Here's what I think it does for people around us. It creates wonder for what God has done in the past. It provides hope, possibility, and wow, do we need this, Lord? Hope, possibility, purpose, and promise in the present. And it catalyzes us to believe extraordinary things for the future. So this is really what Jesus is kind of saying to a redemptive community is, let's come together and kind of anchor ourselves in who we are, and let's talk about this for a while. And maybe more importantly, let's ask the Holy Spirit to just draw us together as one in this anchors of who we are in Him. So there's applications that I see that are coming up. If you could just kind of narrow it down to this, I would say, here's my next 7 weeks, or it's going to be shared, so this will be fun. 7 weeks of conversations around the fact that we're humble, that we're gentle, that we're patient, that we bear with one another, we uphold one another, we forbear with one another. I really got tripped over that word in the first service, so I won't use it again. Did you know that the past tense of forbear, do you know what it is? Did you just call it? I think you did. It is forbore. No pastor should ever say that word. I am foreboring you right now. So I was really in the word. I actually said to the crowd, just so I did hear, what is the past tense? Because I was like, you know, passionately preaching, and I have not considered the past tense of forbear and forbore, and it's just not something you should say. So we're going to uphold one another in this room. Thank you. My humor is bad, but thank you for just laughing a little bit with me. And so a humility, gentleness, upholding one another, passionate for Jesus, devoted to unity. And listen to this. The body of Christ is just this place of peace. And you're just walking in going, wow, those guys are peaceful. So just a few thoughts and some displays, because again, remember, we are called a display for people on this earth that we're walking with and the heavens. They're just pulling back. They're pulling back the shade now, looking into us and saying, teach us, Lord, about what you're doing on this earth, and let's take a peek into this redemptive community. And I think that, first of all, we would be a people of incredible humility. It would just be who we are. We've been on this movement of Jesus being gentle and kind. I just put this word grace and kindness would define us. This is the big picture. We're going to dig much deeper over the next weeks, but we're just going to be a humble group of people who understand who we are, who understand that the gospel is not a set of historical facts. It's a present reality every moment in our lives, that we desperately need this gospel of Jesus to make us alive again and again, to draw new life into us again and again, because we're just humbly coming and saying, apart from Christ, we have nothing. In Christ, we have everything. There's not a lot of in between. We just need Jesus. And so we humbly come and serve Jesus because he has laid down his life for us. We humbly come and lay down our lives for one another because Jesus modeled that for us as he laid down his life so that others might be made alive in the midst of their trespasses. So we're just an extraordinarily humble group of people, and we're just living this collective reality of our redemptive stories together. We're just kind of walking about going, like, we kind of realize that Jesus was a unique fella as he was walking this earth, because when he's kind of walking about, the early church was made up of a church like us. It was a bunch of rogue, weird people. I mean, it wasn't this put together. We're going to come to church now. We're going to be like really look dressed nice. And we're going to come. I don't even know some of the reasons we do what we do. They're gathered up with prostitutes, with the destitute, with tax collectors, with sinners, with fishermen, with the most unlikely. And they're sitting together. And then the kind of the religious folk are in there. And the woman who has just had her life undone before God is breaking the alabaster jar and worshiping him in spirit and truth. Some are standing back. Even the disciples are standing back going, that's kind of a waste right now. And Jesus is looking and going, you'll have plenty of time for that on this earth. This is my family of Christ. We are a worshiping, grace-based, humble community. And we will take our hair out of knots and wash the feet of the Savior because he has done such good for us. We're just the people who are resting in grace and kindness and humble, and we're just looking at one another going, how do I serve you? How do I sacrifice for you? How do I live before you with the humility of the King of Glory? We are becoming someone in Christ, and that means we're just not putting on a lot of airs. Good gospel theology doesn't just define for you who God is and what he has done. It redefines who we are as his children and what he's doing within us. And so we're just a people just saying, Lord, your gospel is going to cling to us. And we really want to be dominated by that. And I think that's the right word. The humbling reality of the gospel is this. It's the means by which we'll understand and make sense of the body of Christ. It's the way we'll make sense of what's going on in this world. The way we'll just move about and say, God, you at the core of our faith lies this belief. God, you humbled yourself to serve us and give your life as a ransom for many. We're going to imitate that. We're going to flesh that out. We want the world to see this. And so this is messy and real, and this is church as it's meant to be, and it's a redemptive community, and it's stepping in to the most difficult places and saying, Lord, how do we display this? So I started thinking of displays, and I scrolled through all of my pictures. I have lots of displays that are meaningful. You know, I had a kid that went to FSU, so I scrolled by Unconquered, thought about using that. I went to another school in the South, and I scrolled by a new thing and looked at that. Kept scrolling by a friend at LSU. And so I finally landed in my pictures in D.C. and found there's some displays. D.C. is like, Washington, D.C. is a city of displays. I just started kind of looking, going, this is a display of this humility that we have. My brother-in-law Susan's brother is a retired Army guy for 27 years. He's lived in and out of the Beltway for probably a decade and a half, maybe 2 decades. And so we kind of got the inside family tour of D.C., and it was pretty cool. And so we're over at the White House one night, and he says, we need to walk across. And I think, okay, I'm not going to comment, no commentary on this. So we're going to walk across to a small chapel that's absolutely beautiful. And there's something you need to see in there. And so this is, as we went in, we just kind of paused for a moment, and he said, you have to understand that this is Lincoln's pew. And that placard just talks about it. It says, you know, when he was attempting, so just rest in the fact that we're not experiencing something new in the last year. We've been in a nation that has struggled with unity, with passion, with depth of feeling, and we've been a nation that have often had people step in at times with humility and servitude, drawing to the Father and just saying there can be unity out of this. Do not lose heart, body of Christ. We are the redemptive community of Jesus in this city right now and to the nations. And there is tremendous hope if you will place it in the gospel. So Lincoln, I love in the middle of everything in the chaos, I brought in a quote from him. He just said, I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. I have this incredible responsibility to serve and draw a nation that is splintered back together. And the only place I can find this is that is gone now, but that pew where I can slide in a gathering and I can rest my soul in the Lord and I can walk back up into the broken places of this culture. and seek your will, Lord. And so I stood in that pew. Everything in me, because I'm not a rules follower, I wanted to sit down there, not because I wanted to break the rules, because I just wanted to sit in that sacred moment, understanding the gravity of prayer. Could it be possible that a chair should be named after you because you're so hungry to pursue Jesus and you know this is over your head? And the world needs us to know that. And they need us to be a humble people before the Lord, just crying out to him. Another one's going on right now in our nation. I stood at this site, and it's probably one of the most prominent moments for me because I lived and worked in the state of Alabama for 7 years in undergrad and graduate school and worked with organizations that are seeking to bring unity to very broken situations. So to stand where Martin Luther King gave the, I start crying now, where he gave the, I have a dream speech. Oh, wow. So beautiful. And I'm asking myself this question. So we're having struggles in our nation over the same topics that he talked about 40 years ago. And here's what I recognize as a church. Immediately following these verses, which I read, which is you're a display of the glory of God. You are the wonder of the glory of God. This is where we're leading the way. Like we're already told, we're like so ahead of this ball game as the body of Christ. We're already told that there's one tribe, one people, one nation, one that belongs to God. We've already been told that in Revelation 5, we're singing with every tribe and tongue and people, and we're doing this at all times. So why would we not have groups that are utterly confused and struggling, and yet, so this is not a them, us, this is all of us. And yet, eternity is in their hearts, and so they're battling for this justice that God has. Why would there not be a look immediately into the body of Christ to say, how do we do this? This is who we are. This is who we are. And we're a people who unites what's broken. We're a people who brings the reconciling work of Jesus. We're a people that stands in when injustice is happening, and we have led the way or not. And we just get to be a people in the midst of all the chaos. And remember, the ending of Romans 4, verse 3 says, we get to be a people of great peace in the midst of great turmoil, walking about, not joining insanity, bringing peace to it. Oh, wow. What an incredible privilege to be. Like, won't you think if this is going on and the body of Christ is just moving about with humility and gentleness and serving this nation, not us only, but us, the body of Christ, would it not be awesome if the Lord drew back and said, do you see the chaos right now? Wait until you see my church. If this rubs you wrong, take it up with Scripture. Because the Scripture invites us to humility and kindness and to leading the way. I got a little excited about that. Forgive me. So may we drink from the well of his grace and kindness and just say, Lord, let us be the aroma of heaven. And secondly, and I will stop with this. I did this in the first service as well, because everybody appears to be listening slowly today. So another just character attribute that I would share with you, I think is important if we're going to live out the gospel, is that we're known. Like, we really are known. We're a grace-giving group of people that people know us. Listen, there's about three or four things that will hopefully allow this to make sense, and then I will pray for us. So one, I live as if I truly believe that my relationship with Jesus is a community project. To be truly a redemptive family, I know that I will falter apart from other people. And so I'm living, this is where I got lost in the word forbore, right now. So people will forbear for me. They will step in for me. They will uphold me. I know at the core of who I am that you and I are not meant to do this by ourselves. In fact, we cannot bear the fruit that Christ has for us in an independent, individualized faith, no matter what the Western culture has said. We are intended to be a redemptive family. We're intended to walk this journey. We're intended to be made known. We're intended to be what we were singing about, like, Lord, bring all my addictions and all my shame and all my struggles. God, let it be this landing spot week in and week out as I continuously am being conformed to your image. And Lord, it's hard, and I can't do this without being known. I need people to know me. And I know the body of Christ because we're a redemptive faith family. This is who we are. I know that I'm safe to be known there. I know that I'm accepted and welcome there. I know whatever happens, come what may, they'll walk with me through this journey and they will uphold me. I just need to keep returning to his people. I think it invites the conviction that isolated, individualized Christianity never produces good fruit. Dependency means that I no longer fear exposure. I think that's on the screen, and that's freeing. Dependency means I'm just walking about as who I am for the sake of who he is, that I'm no longer fearing exposure. I know that all that I'm about has already been addressed by Jesus. And he has fully welcomed me, and so does his faith family. Praise God for this reality and truth of who we are. And this is this beauty, this mystery of this sanctifying ministry of the body of Christ. Would it surprise you that this would be important, given the fact that we have looked at the birth of the church? The birth of the church is this Trinitarian wonder that Jesus prayed for us. Father, that they would be in me as I am in you, and we are in him. And so there's this beauty of the Father, Son, and Spirit walking around in interdependency in this triune majesty of God in three persons yet one. And when he prays for us to birth the church, he says, you're not starting as you and us. I am praying that we just merge this as a group that knows one another, and you're birthing the body of Christ in the middle of the unity of the Trinity. Woo! This is so exciting for me. I mean, this is who we are. We're like sitting in church going, we're part of the Father, Son, Spirit, Mandarin. Then fill in your name. Like, we're in, and by the way, Lord, this is a global thing you have going on. So I have friends all over this world that are a part of my redemptive family, and I'm going to meet them either here or there. And this is so beautiful and so powerful and seemingly so important. So my brother-in-law stopped at another display. It's on the screen now. It's the Arlington Cemetery. And he stopped, and all of the things that are just awesome are awesome there. Like, to go to the changing of the guard, wow. It's sacred. To walk through, and if you haven't been to Arlington, like, it's not small. I mean, just to walk for a long, extended period of time. So this is what made it amazing. We were together on this. It's a whole other thing to go with a guy who stops after the thing and says, let's take a while here. Let's talk about knowing each other. And so he goes to a historical marker and tells us this very long story that I won't share with you, but of just the power of sacrifice and being known. But then we go to a newer part of the cemetery, and Johnny just starts talking. And it's so poignant the way he talks about it. Two or three of his friends. And he's just, it's not a tombstone and a name. It's a story. It's a story of being known. It's a story of a friend. It's a story of one who had forbearance on our behalf and his behalf. It's a story of beauty and wonder. It's a story of exposure. It's a story of saying you are known and you have sacrificed and ultimately you've laid down your life and you're not a piece of granite. There is a story that has upended my life. And we got to sit and listen as he just shared stories. Johnny's 27-year Army guy. He's super matter-of-fact. So he tells a story as matter-of-fact with water running down his face. I love that guy. And then he says, there's just this moment. And he said, just look around. You'll see it because we're in a newer area. But there are friends that have just been held together because of some of these guys. The way you know this is the rocks. It's just a tradition among the guys. They go and will place a rock at Arlington or any one of the cemeteries that's a national cemetery and just saying, thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thank you for your sacrifice, your forbearance, for your love. I want to walk worthy of the calling that you have left for me. That's the way of Jesus. There's nothing more exposing than a tomb. And I'll close with this. May you live your life in such a manner that there are rocks stacked because of the stories that are told of the grace and the beauty and the humility and the kindness of Jesus through you. I'll consider that pure joy.
Thanks again for diving in with us today. The Word of God is not just something to engage in for this short period of time, but these messages of truth are meant for life-altering convictions. Scripture is something that defines us and redirects us. Together, we are letting God's Word have free reign in our hearts, our lives, our families, and here at Mandarin. Will you join us in letting God shape us? He is speaking, He is moving, He is working in each of us to form us into the image of His Son, Jesus. As you go, we hope that you will take some time to visit our website at mandarinbaptist.org. Like and follow us on facebook.com/mandarinbaptistchurch. You can stay up to date with us on all that is going on, as well as join us for our services online. We love you, church, and we hope that you will join us again soon.